Okay, so I have loved Maybelline since I became aware of it when I was, probably 13, 14. I have used Maybelline for that long. And their new Lifter Plump lip gloss is absolutely insane. It is so fabulous. It gives me the perfect puffy pout. And one thing about me is I always have a lip on. Like I wake up in the morning, I brush my teeth, and I apply a lip. I'm just that girl. I'm sorry, I have to. And I'm obsessed with this new Lifter Plump. Okay. Here's why. There's a little heat in it, and it just makes your lips look so kissable, so perfect, so divine. I'm obsessed, quite frankly. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
Thankfully, C4 Energy has reinvented the energy drink game with C4 Smart Energy, the only energy drink clinically proven to provide enhanced mental focus. C4 Smart Energy is formulated with 200 milligrams of natural caffeine from green coffee beans, plus potassium, niacin, and vitamin B12 to support well-being and help you feel your best, all while promoting fat burn and boosting metabolism. So I have recently tried C4 Smart Energy, and let me tell you, it is giving me a boost. That caffeine is hitting because I have a very short attention span. I get distracted so easily, and I tried it, and I was like, yeah, this is a boost, all right. I love that. Look for Smart Energy every day in the beverage aisle at your local Costco. Go grab a can and share on social media tagging at C4 Energy and the It's Me Tinks podcast to show us how Smart Energy helps you stay focused wherever you are. C4 Smart Energy. Stay focused.
Have you heard about Roback Activewear? Well, let me introduce you. You may have seen that subtle dog logo on your man's polos, hoodies, or Q-zips, but now Roback is growing their women's line. They strive for the best fit and best feel. I am so glad that Roback is now doing women's wear as well, because they really have it down when it comes to super soft athletic wear that is just the cutest ever and so, so, so comfortable. You know me, I'm all about comfort. I'm all about feeling cozy while on the go, and I am always on the go. So go Roback. We love that you're in women's wear now. It's 2024, the spring's coming, and ladies, it's time to check out Roback for yourself. So use the code TINKS on Roback.com for a generous 20% off your first order for all hoodies, joggers, skorts, and more. That's spelled Roback.com. That's 20% off with the code TINKS. Hi guys, welcome back to It's Me Tinks. I have a very special guest with me. Actually, you guys demanded that she return. It's the return of Camilla, and I'm so excited to be potting with her from London. As you guys know, I know Camilla from Stanford, although we both grew up in London. We didn't know each other when we lived here during our early days, and then we met at Stanford and have remained really good friends ever since. And our friendship has ebbed and flowed, and we're going to get into that. That's what we're going to actually talk about today, is female friendships. I always get so many inquiring minds, you know, how to be a good girlfriend, how to cultivate strong female friendships, what to do when your friends move away, what to do when your friends are in different stages of life. So we're going to get into all of that. But I thought I would open it up and just say, God, it feels good to be in London.
I'm so happy you're here.
We've been having so much fun.
We've been having a great time. And I just really think you need to be spending more time here, not just because I miss you.
I'm manifesting it. No, I am. I'm really, this is like the first time that I've considered moving back ever. And I'm so obsessed. And we went to the Polo on Saturday, which was so fun. And then we had a very boozy dinner on Saturday night.
We sure did. It was quite the time.
It was quite the time. As we used to say in college, the tommel, which is so embarrassing and cheeky of us, but whatever, who cares? Live your life.
Yeah.
Tommel means time of my life. So we would go downstairs and we would be like, how was your night out? And we'd be like, oh, the tommel.
And that became like a nickname for one of my friend groups too, is we call ourselves the tommel team, which is just so cheeky, but I love it.
Yeah. I made a TikTok that was like,
if you, it was about eyeliner in your waterline. And I have loved that. I think it's specifically a British thing, 'cause when we were growing up, like, it was all about Rimmel,
yeah,
and that Kohl eyeliner, and we would put it in our waterline to look like Kate Moss, whatever. And I will never give that up. And people on TikTok say it's choogy. Then I made a TikTok saying, you're going to have to kill me if you want me to stop doing that. And everyone was like, you're the only person who uses choogy tinks. Like, no one else says that anymore. And I was like, literally let me live. I use it in a funny way, being like, I don't care. Like, to me, choogy is like basic. It's like, you want to call me choogy, that's fine. If you want to call me basic, that's fine, because I am.
You got to just embrace what you are. And completely. Like, yeah. And also, sorry, Kate Moss is an icon and I stand by that.
Yeah. And it's like, everybody looks amazing with eyeliner in their waterline. I will, yeah, do it. You better do it to me when I'm like in my coffin. Like, better take a Rimmel Kohl liner and do a little waterline in there. So we did that. We had a fun time, and we had a pina colada in the Mahiki tent. We had a wonderful time, and tomorrow we're going to Ascot, which is so exciting.
It's going to be amazing. We just got lucky, and all these amazing London summer events, yeah, are in 1 week.
Exactly. And Ascot, I was saying to you before, I think it's really going to test us. It's going to bring us back to our college days. You know, we've been training for a marathon day like this for some time now.
We definitely have.
And we used to have this event, guys, in college called Theta Rafting, where we would start drinking at like 9 a.m. and we would tie 4 rafts together and go down the American River. And we would also go topless, but that's like not really important.
By the by.
And anyway, we would drink all day, and then we would sometimes try to go out, and it was always like so aggressive, the people who made it out that night. But that is what we are attempting to do tomorrow. We're going to go to Ascot, which, if you don't know, is kind of like the Kentucky Derby of England, but way more fancy because the literal queen comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone wears a hat. And we're leaving at 8:30 a.m. Then we are going to attempt to go out tomorrow night.
We are
going
to try to do that. And also, I just want to clarify, it's not just a hat. A fascinator is a really important concept.
Fascinator is an important word and concept that people should familiarize themselves,
yeah,
with.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah, like this beautiful thing that sits on your head and, yeah, spirals into the sky. So. Yeah.
And then just get wasted on pins while you're wearing your fascinator. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Fascinator, okay, graveyard at Ascot tomorrow.
Fascinator graveyard. Exactly. So you and I both, I think, have very strong perceptions and feelings about female friendships.
Definitely.
And I think that's probably one of the first things that we bonded over when we were at Stanford, because we both take our friendships on the whole, but especially our female friendships, very seriously. And I guess my first question is, like, what do they mean to you? And how, yeah, just what do female friendships mean to you?
So I think our female friendships are so important because they are the through line through, mm-hmm, so much in our lives. Mm-hmm. And it's the constant. When you look at, you know, different schools that you've gone to, or relationships that you've had, or ups and downs that you've been through, oftentimes it's those relationships that actually hold everything together. Mm-hmm. And you can remember conversations that you had with specific friends, mm-hmm, at each of those times.
Agree.
And so it's like, it's that history, but also that consistency that makes them so important.
Agree. And you went to an all-girls school.
I sure did.
Yeah. And so how do you think going to an all-girls school informed that perception? And like, how do you think it prepared you for life and that sort of stuff?
So I think, like, you'll agree with, mm-hmm, me on this, that I think going to an all-girls school did two things. One is it gives you a quicker perception of other girls, I think. Like, yes, you sort of assess girls quickly, and like, I'm not tooting my own horn or our own horn here, but like, I think like fairly accurately,
yeah,
like generally, yeah, I trust my gut on, yeah, like when I meet girls, and I learned very quickly that like when girls, but anyone shows you who they are, you believe them. 100%. And like, that's something that you learn very quickly at girls' school. Mm-hmm. And I think the second thing was we were given space to foster those friendships outside of worrying about boys.
Agree.
And that was so nice because it actually means that your friendships are not like tarnished or diluted, and, yeah, and maybe we're biased.
It could be that we're biased, but
yeah, I do think that my friendships, like, I learned to make those strong female friendships because I wasn't out of the side of my eye, like, eyeing up a boy.
Totally. And I, yeah, I agree with you. And I'm totally recognizing that we could be biased because that's the only experience that we had. However, I think there is, you know, a world in which you always look at the bright side and always look at the positive. And if that's true, then I take my all-girls school experience to be exactly what you said, which is that it taught me to be a good friend. It taught me to, cherish my female friendships, exactly as you said, without
without, to use a TikTok term, the male gaze, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because I wasn't worrying about it. And I think we're both pretty boy crazy, or at least we were since we went to college, but we weren't in high school. Yeah. As in, we were to the point that you can be when you only see boys at the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we simply just didn't have them around. And yeah, you were talking about them at school, but there was no boys around.
No.
We were completely free to be whoever we wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know about you. I can't speak for you, but now I look back and I'm so glad I went to an all-girls school. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad.
Well, 100%. But I also think on top of that, it meant that that's something that we both kind of sort throughout our lives is like,
really,
you know,
point.
And like, we'll get into sororities and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think like, I have found so much comfort in my female friendships my whole life, because it's like a comfort blanket in a way. It's like a thing I grew up with, you know.
That's, I had never thought of that point. I think it's a really good one. It taught me like a heat seeking missile.
Yeah.
To think, where's my girl gang?
As yeah.
Chuggy as that sounds, like, I've always gone into a situation and thought, listen, boys come and go. Mm-hmm. They're fun. Love them to bits. This is never a man-hating podcast, but women are, as you said, the through line. Yeah.
And something maybe we'll get onto, I actually think it has helped me have better balance, even when I have had boyfriend sickness and like been in relationships.
Yes, it does prevent, it is a booster against boyfriend sickness.
Yeah.
Because you can never, it's different. Mm-hmm. You of course have fall in love and have amazing boyfriends and be completely obsessed with that partner and whatever, but like, it's different and, mm-hmm. and both can exist at the same time. And yeah. I think both of us, you know what? It's actually such a good point that you made, because it answers a question that I was going to make, which is often people write to me and say like, how do you make friends? And I think that both of us cherish our female friendships so much that even though we've both moved a million times, it's always been our first stop. Mm-hmm. We like get off the plane at a new place and we're like, all right, time to make girlfriends, because
100%.
It's the foundation.
Yeah. I mean, that was the first thing that I did when I went to Madrid, is I like, you know, put out to my network. I was like, who knows cool people here? And I have a little girl group there now. And that's like what makes it feel like home. Literally, exactly. Honestly, it's those girls.
Yeah. I think that's so true, because you're so right. That's a great quote. Girls make it feel like home.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's like, if you don't have a group of girls to fall back on, if something goes wrong, or to go out with when you want to have fun, you do feel a bit floating in space.
Yeah.
And the times I felt most lost in my life is when I don't feel like I have a good group of girlfriends.
100%. Cause it defines not just the place for you, but your sense of self a little bit too.
Totally. Okay. My next question is, what did you take from your all girls school experience into the sorority experience?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Or do you want to start with it first? Do you think sororities get a bad rep?
Oh, controversial. I'm ready to go there. I'm ready to go there too,
because I honestly don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I think, well, I asked you the question, so you go first.
Are you sure?
You go.
Okay. Do I think sororities get a bad rap? I think yes and no. I think, and I'm looking at it, by the way, you have the ability to do this too, because we grew up in the UK, and all I really knew of the Greek system before I went was like Red Cups and like American Pie movies and,
totally.
And things like that. And so in my head, I was like, oh, I would never. And then I was like, wait, Camilla, you literally went to an old girl school. All you care about is hanging out with girls. So like, you need to be in a sorority.
I thought the same thing, but I thought the opposite. I thought, oh, it's like Red Cups in a girl club. I was like, sign me up. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't know the connotations of a lot of sororities.
No, exactly.
And I think when people hear me or people like me, mm-hmm. namely kind of sensible and fair, and people like you be so rah-rah about our sorority, they think, are you mentally ill? Like these are weird things that are very archaic and have a lot of negativity associated to them. But we didn't go to one of those weird schools where they are very exclusive and mean and they are, you know, discriminatory and they haze and stuff like that. Like, it was so different at Stanford. And I really need to impress that upon people as context for when we talk about it, because literally it was a house to live in with girls.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And so that's why I think it's actually kind of hard for us to be the ones to judge whether sororities get a bad rep or not, because our experience was so different than the standard experience.
Agreed.
I would say for our experience, yes, sororities get a bad rep, because it's exactly what you just said. It's a house to live in and a group of girls. And by the way, like, those friendships are the most enduring, like, of my life, you know, and it was incredible. And I never felt any of the like weird social pressure that I think comes along with that label of being in a sorority or whatever, and probably does exist at other schools. So what I can't speak to, what I don't know about, is like if somebody's experience in a different school was, I do think it can be problematic when, when gender dynamics come into play and there's been a lot of issues associated with the Greek system, then like probably in that case, it doesn't get a bad rep. But for me personally, it was the most phenomenal choice that I made.
Agreed. Agreed. I know it's so difficult because it's just, I wish that it could, I feel like with so many institutions, they just hold on to these archaic pillars of establishment. And if they would just take a wake up call and just say, you know what, we're scrapping all this, we're scrapping all the weird songs and all the weird rules. And we're actually just going to have a community basically. Yeah. That would be amazing because I think people, especially young people, crave community and we don't have it anymore. And I know for me, for both of us who moved 6,000 miles away to a different continent, we were craving it. Like not only were we craving female friendships, we were craving community, and that's what it provided. And I wish that old institutions, not just Greek life, but elsewhere in especially the States, I wish that they would just say, hey, this needs a fucking update. We're not going to be like, I mean, in some sororities, they wouldn't have allow a boy to step foot in,
which is crazy.
Is insane. That's insane. You're in college. People are having sex. They're experimenting. They're having fun. That's not normal. And it, like all these weird rules, you have to check in. You have to, you know, look a certain way. That's ridiculous.
I basically think that there is a choice when you bring like a big group of women together like this. And some of what I might say is going to maybe be a little bit like biased through my own lens. Right. Mm-hmm. But I basically think in any big group of women, you have a choice. The choice is either that you let that brood competitiveness and, and competition, and you use it as like a pressure cooker, or you use it to build community and you look at each other, you uplift each other, you give different experiences and you share opportunities and whatever. And that actually, I think, is a conscious choice when you're building a culture of a place like that. And I feel like what our experience was very much the latter, where people were opening doors for each other, not literal physical doors, but like, you know, sharing opportunities and sharing experiences, where I didn't feel torn down really by the people that I was with. And I think that can be the case.
100% And I think, but what I will say and be honest about is I felt within Theta complete love and community and support. And I felt like those girls would go to bat for me. I felt a massive amount of competition, some of it stemming from within my side, inside myself against other sororities. In a fun way.
Very true.
But again, I'm just checking myself and I'm saying at the time, like, why did I need to do that? Like, why did I need to feel competitive and be like, oh, Pi Phi sucks. Like, they're so fucking boring. Like, why did I need to do that? No, part of that is just human nature. Right. And just like having a laugh, but I completely agree with your point. And I'm happy that within Theta, I felt like, even though there was, of course, different cliques, like little cliques. And that's something I want to talk to you about later, which is like, you're not going to be friends with everybody. And that's like such a thorn in in some people's type of feminism side. You're not going to be friends with everyone. Within Theta, there was definitely cliques.
Sure.
But I felt like all the cliques were friends with each other.
Yeah. And at the very, to your point, you're not going to be best friends with everyone, but to the very least, there wasn't animosity. Nobody's trying to tear each other down, but it is an interesting point that you made. I'm not trying to like gloss over the fact that of course there was some competition and like between sororities and things like that. Like you definitely feel that to some extent, but that's just human nature.
I agree. I agree.
So I have a trip planned to Palm Desert coming up, and I booked an Airbnb because I wanted to be with all of my friends. This house we booked has a beautiful pool, so you guys know I will be catching some rays and doing a little bit of tanning. I know a few friends who have houses, and when they're away, whether it's on a trip or they're traveling for work, they just Airbnb their houses. So they're like actively making money while they're away, which is kind of the dream, right? Like passively making extra money. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. All the must-have styles that pair with everything this spring.
DSW has all the must-have styles, from fun, colorful sandals to sporty soles and cool fashion sneakers. All the latest styles, fun colors, and best brands at great prices. Okay, you guys, it is officially spring. Thank goodness. I've been so excited to get out of the colder weather, and I'm excited to start wearing more spring forward looks. Okay. I am excited to show my toes again. They've been in hiding, right? I got a pedicure and I am ready for open toed shoes. I'm ready to do like a little jean with a wedge. I am ready to do some beautiful strappy sandals at the upcoming weddings that I have. I am just so excited for all of the opportunities to wear cute shoes, and DSW has so many options, and I will be needing quite a few pairs, so it's time to shop. Explore the latest spring styles at your nearest DSW store or online at dsw.com. To know me is to know that I am obsessed with spicy margaritas. Love tequila cocktails? Then check out the award-winning 21 Seeds Infused Tequila. It's a one-of-a-kind tequila infused with the juice of real fruit. 21 Seeds is smooth, not sweet. It smells fresh and bright and tastes incredible. Try 21 Seeds Infused Tequila. Learn more at 21seeds.com. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. This Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. I am obsessed with Osea because it is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate neutral certified. And I just know I can feel very safe using everything. My mom loves it too. I always gift her Osea because I know she's obsessed with it. She is a big fan of the body oil. She just loves how soft it makes her skin feel. It is the best. The Undaria Algae Body Oil is seriously one of a kind. Like I said, that's my mom's favorite. It's rich yet never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It leaves skin silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code TINKS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code TINKS for 10% off.
Okay, so back to, what did you take from your all-girls school experience into the sorority experience? And we kind of already answered it, but I think we both hit the ground being like, I want this. Like, I want to be a part of this community. Mm-hmm. And I know, I guess maybe for me, I knew how valuable it could be because I'd seen from high school, and I wanted to iterate on that and build on it. And it's completely rung true. Mm-hmm. Like those people are my friends now.
Yeah.
They're like my strongest friends. The girls from Theta.
Right. As soon as I realized what it actually meant beyond like whatever negative connotation because I did personally have a negative connotation going in, but that was quickly dispelled at Stanford. And it was really that. It was just that I took from like having been in an all girls school, I was like, the people that I go to, and I think us being 6,000 miles away as well, like we didn't have family to turn to, like we didn't have that support system. And so it was that default of like, okay, who do I talk to and who do I rely on when I have hard things going on? Yeah. It's my girlfriends. Oh, what do you mean? There's a built-in system for me to have a giant mm-hmm. group of girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That feels like something I should be a part of. And mm-hmm. so like going into that. And then also I think just, well, this is just a personal thing. I don't know if you're going to agree with this, but I feel like I give girls the benefit of the doubt. Like mm-hmm. I kind of assume that they're going to be nice and good. And then if they're not, then that's a different conversation. But like, I think I kind of learned from girls school that like, when you get to know people, generally there's like some good there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I agree with that. I want to touch on, girl code, which you and I, again, I think this really comes from going to an all girls school. I think you and I have quite strict versions of it.
Yes.
And I feel like I think we had strict versions of it going into life in the States and whatever. But I think as time has progressed, a lot of my other friends have not lessened the girl code, but kind of, it's definitely gotten looser for them. Whereas I'm still like, I would never go for an ex. I mean, to the point where I hope we can even talk about it. Like we were even so respectful if we wanted to hook up with people that us two have already hooked, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We would like ask, we would be like, I know this is, you know, you kissed him once freshman year, but I'm dying to make out with so-and-so.
And this is like 4 years later.
Yeah. And we would bargain. We would be, we would be like, okay, well, if you go to this party with me, I'll let you hook up with him. And it just like, I think both of us just had a massive amount of respect for yeah. other girls that we were close to in the sense of boys, because, and you know what, come to think of it, it's probably because we didn't have boys in high school. So mm-hmm. it's like, these people are my first priority.
Yeah.
And I'll protect my friendship with them over the potential. Right. Cause that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's whenever you're doing a trade-off with girl code, like hooking up with a friend's ex, what have you, you are trading a current friendship for the potential of a romantic interest.
Yes.
So that's like, what's that phrase? Like, two in the hand is worth one in the bush or whatever. It's like, yeah. that's a big trade-off.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that way of looking at it, because that is what I failed to articulate all the times that I had issues with girl code with like other friends. And I have, we all have, you know,
of course.
But I feel like I somehow like had the moral high ground, or I, to your point, like I didn't have the moral high ground. I thought that I did.
Yeah.
But I was always more strict in my view on what girl code was, just because of the background that I came from. And so when people did things, like friends of mine would do things that to me, like really massively violated girl code, I just got angry. I didn't have the right words to express it. And, yeah. but it's like, but that's what it is. And I think for anyone that is facing that question right now of like, what does girl code mean to you or in your friend group or whatever it is about where do you place more value?
Right.
That's what it is it on that friendship where you are right now, or is it on this potential love interest? And every case is different.
Yeah.
But I think that's the question you have to ask yourself is like, what are you risking?
What are you risking? Yeah. For what potential? Which
yeah.
is crazy. So I think that was really just a point where we connected so much, where we kind of couldn't believe how some girls acted in college, where we were like, how could you do that to your yeah. friend? Like, and it's like in about 1 in 100 cases, they end up being their husband, the love of their life. More times than not, it just ends up being like a messy disaster anyway. So again, it's like, I think that's really good to just shout it out and call it out to people, because I do get a lot of inquiries about, you know, what should I do? I fancy this person or this and that. It's like, what has more value to you, your current friendship, what you have, or this potential,
yeah.
this seedling.
Right. And that's a calculation you have to do for yourself very honestly, I think, because
yes.
like the potential, that's like a very nebulous word and it can mean something different in every situation. It might just be like, oh, you fancy that guy. And so yeah. like, you want to kiss him.
Yeah.
That to me feels not worth it. But if you're like, oh no, I really think like for whatever reason, this could be the one, then like, okay, fine. Then have that conversation with yourself. But like, that is the calculation you have to do.
Agreed. I'm going to ask you a really difficult question, but okay. I want to discuss it with you. I think it's interesting. Do you think it's a red flag if a girl doesn't have a lot of girlfriends?
That's not a hard question for me.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Yeah. You thought that was going to be a hard question.
Yeah. No, but say what you think about it.
I think it's a huge red flag if a girl doesn't have a lot of girlfriends, mainly because like my girlfriends are my North Star. So that tells yeah. me right away that we fundamentally like don't have values in common.
Yeah.
But on top of that, I think like I hate to say it, there's an element of like, I hate this like pick me girl thing. That's like, friends are boys.
Let's talk about that, because I have a tough time, because my whole platform, my whole thing is like obviously incredibly supportive and wanting all girls to just be themselves and do what they want. But I would be lying if I said I didn't believe in the concept of a pick me girl. And for anybody who doesn't know, a pick me girl is the type of girl who says, oh, I don't really like girls. Like, I'm more one of the guys, or like, you know, just saying that kind of thing. Or this is kind of like a jokey example, but being like, I can't believe you would eat a salad. Like I only like burgers and beers. Like that's a comical, trope of a pick me girl, whatever. But I don't know how to reconcile those two things. I guess I don't have to have an answer, and I can turn it to you and to my listeners. Like, I don't have an answer how to reconcile the thing of like, I want every girl to do what they want and say what they want. However, if I meet a girl and she's like, I just like, don't like girls. Like, I'm just more friends with all the guys. Like, I've always had a lot of guy friends. I'm just like, I'm turned off by it.
I think, you know what it is like, I was quick to judge when you asked me that question, because the answer is so clear for me. It doesn't have to be the same answer for everyone. Like,
yeah.
you know, I think like probably there are those girls out there that are very happy and like living their lives with no girlfriends and only guy friends. And as long as they're happy, then it doesn't make a difference to me. I just think for me, I look for girls that value female friendships as much as I do.
I think you're 100% right. I think you've cracked the code. I think it's that it's not necessarily bad, or maybe like the word red flag isn't helpful here. It's more, I know I probably don't have a lot in common with you.
Right.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah. 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 So want to slightly pivot now and talk about how we've maintained our friendship throughout our 20s and how we maintain friendships with our friends who are in different stages of life, because it's evolving. And I feel like we were kind of doing it without talking about it throughout our 20s. And I think then when the pandemic hit, we were like, wow, feeling a lot closer, and really started to be self-aware and analyze like our friendship and our friendships with others, and just like how important it is to persevere and to understand that it ebbs and flows.
Yes. And that I think is so key, what you said about ebbing and flowing, because I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves for our best friends to always be our best friends.
Yeah.
And like for friendships to be linear and not to have natural ebbs and flows, I guess.
Yeah.
And I haven't found that to be true. I've had like, you know, friendships that have gotten stronger, and friendships that have hit rough spots that we've come out of, and you know, your life stage kind of gets in the way sometimes. But I think specifically for us, it was interesting because obviously like we've been friends for a long time. And I would say even like since Stanford, our friendship has gone through periods where we've been really close and periods where we've been less close. And I think like the pandemic threw a lot of things into perspective for people. And you just started to really think about like who you value and who you have a lot in common with, and whatever it is. And I think the other thing that was cool about our friendship is that you, like, I was already in London, like in the pandemic, like, you know, I feel like over the last few years, we've gotten closer and closer despite the distance, which is something that a lot of people face now because we're such a globally mobile, you know, group of people.
Yeah.
And we're lucky in that sense, but it does pose a friendship, like a friendship challenge.
For sure.
But it didn't like, I mean, I think we both made an effort, but it never felt like we were grasping.
Yeah. I think you do have to put in effort. Like, I think you do have to put in effort. I think you have to send those voice notes. I think you have to pick up the phone and say, hey, come on. Like, and sometimes it's kind of like going to the gym, where if you're out of the habit of speaking to someone, it can feel a bit, you know, prickly and awkward at first, but then after you get in the go of it and you kind of are back, you know, following the plot lines of the other person's life, then you're invested.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't matter. And I think another huge thing that I want to say is like, we both cut each other so much slack, which is so, so fucking important. And I think back to that, really controversial, I say that in quotes, Maren Morris, Instagram post she did, where basically the sum of it was, you know, you don't know what people are going through, cut them slack. And I just, that's what I took from it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so in practicality, what that means is if one of us doesn't text the other person back for 2 days, no one gets in a fuss about it.
No.
We're just like, okay, they're busy. They, you know, and we just text again, hey, remember me, paying whatever.
Yeah.
Don't take it personally. Now, if I called you in floods of tears and I was like, I'm going through the worst time of my life, which, hey, recently did, like, I would be sad if you weren't there for me.
Yeah.
And some people weren't there for me. And you know, that I take note of that. But but if it's just day to day bullshit, you have to cut people slack because people are busy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's super true. And can I tell you also a thing that I've found in those like long distance friendships is like, to the point of cutting people slack, not putting pressure on like how that conversation is supposed to go. So actually, like, a conversation that doesn't work super well for me is like, how are you? It's been ages since we spoke.
You
and like
hit the nail on the head.
And for me, like the it's been ages is almost like a little guilt trippy. And like, how are you is such a hard question to answer, actually. And so like, I think another thing that we do really well that I love is like, I see something that reminds you of you and me of you, and I send it to you or like whatever it is. And like, we do small things where it's like, hey, I'm thinking of you, not like,
And we don't act like time has passed. Like, I'll literally just, I won't be like, hey, how are you? How's your week been? I'll be like, which top should I wear on my date tonight?
Yeah.
And that's like, you know what? That's such a good unlock for people. And I think the more casual you are, the less pressure it feels.
That's it.
Cause it's literally just like, oh my God, I'm eating a call in the caterpillar cake, or like, oh my God, I'm going on a date. I'm nervous. Don't be nervous. It's fine. And then it's like, it's good, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just that ease. It's that space that we give each other.
That's my favorite thing. It's like, I think you maintain closeness actually in the details, not
100%.
Not in the macro, like, because think about it, like, it's the people that you're not that close with that they're like, how are you? And you're like, I'm great. Like, work is really busy right now, but I'm excited for my trip this weekend. It's like, okay, I didn't actually learn anything.
Yeah,
you know, I would 100%. Have learned more if you texted me and asked me which top to wear on your date.
100%. I agree. And I think the same goes with like friends, you know, it extends to our friends who are in different life stages, because, you know, we'd be lying if we said we didn't have a lot in common, because we're both, you know, we're both not in relationships and we are just kind of, you know, going around, and we are both into travel and adventure right now. So,
Yeah, I think that's super true. And like, and I'll be honest, like, this is something I'd love to talk about, is like, it is really hard. And as you go through different life stages, and I feel like we felt it first in our like early mid 20s when people started moving away and like we left that college bubble and suddenly like people were different levels of focused on their career and mm-hmm. some people started getting engaged and like that sort of thing. And suddenly like this distance creeps in. And now, you know, you think about it and you're like, wow, this person I used to be really close with, I actually don't have that much in common anymore. Yeah. And like, how do you maintain close friendships through those ups and downs when all we're all doing is just living the lives that we want to live? But how do you stay close through that?
Yeah. And I think the same rings true. It's like, just don't get too in your head about like, oh my God, they're married with a baby and I'm like going to Ibiza this weekend. You know, like you can't let those things dictate your closeness. And sometimes they do, but don't get in your head about it and make a problem before there is one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that's true. And I think also forgiving yourself for any kind of like, well, first of all, putting the pressure on, I think, is one thing that you need to let go of. But the second thing is like not feeling the like comparison or jealousy or whatever it is, because like the grass is always greener. And I'm sure you found this too, but it's like, you know, my friends are so excited about different parts of my life. I'm so excited about different parts of their life, and just allowing like yourself to be happy for those things rather than anything else.
Agreed. Yeah. No, it's great. Yeah. Well, I fucking love you. Thank you for being on the pod again.
Thanks for having me.
I can't wait to record again. Like, in, I don't know. I hope soon. I hope when I'm back in August, we record again and it's something totally different, but I always have the best conversations with you. And I cherish our friendship. And I hope that this conversation inspired other girls out there. And you guys, you listeners know how happy it makes me when you take care of each other. And like Camilla said, your female friendships are the through line. So hold on to them.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
All right, guys, that's it from me. We will be back on Monday. Well, just me, sadly, unless I quote, miss my flight and stay in London. Haha. Love you guys tons. If you enjoyed the pod, it would mean the absolute world to me if you send it to someone who maybe doesn't know about me, maybe doesn't listen. Give us a 5 stars. You seriously don't know how much that means to me. And don't forget to use the diamond emoji if you want to learn more. Love you guys. Bye.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.